spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man in the chill.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are joined by two illustrious guests.
As always, we're
okay,
joined.
Okay, maybe for the first time. First, we're joined by two illustrious guests. We're glad to have them on. We have Vaughn and Steve from Comics Asylum. Guys,
thanks for having us.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great. Yes. Great, great. Now, all right, now you guys survived St. Paddy's Day last night, it being Wednesday the 18th. Last night was St. Paddy's Day.
Yep.
You guys look like you're a little, it looks like you're doing okay.
Right. But we're it looks like you hopped a couple of bars.
yes.
Yes.
Good.
Not too bad.
Good.
Good for you. Now, the good news is, Chris, this is the good news.
Right.
Can I tell you the good news?
Well, tell me the good news.
I'll tell you the good news.
What's the good news?
Is these guys know their comics.
Well, that is
so
good
news.
So
this is going to be a refreshing change from our regular show.
Yeah, it's very true. We're actually going to have people that know about comics.
Exactly.
On
they
the
know
comic
their
show.
Stuff.
Yeah.
They know their artists. They know their comics. I can't wait to get their insights. So if you're listening, maybe hit the record button on this one and learn something.
You know what? This is probably the show that if we ever wanted to option it around.
Yeah.
This is the one to do because it sounds like we actually know what we're doing.
Then we have to drag them around with
us. That's okay.
That's
okay.
How much booze that is?
Yeah, it's very true.
I mean, soda?
Soda, pop stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Listen. So what are we going to do first?
Okay, listen, you know what? For those of you who are new listeners, we like to talk about comics that are coming out this week, hitting the newsstands today, Wednesday. So let's have a sponsor.
All right, the sponsor today, the sponsor for new this week is Comics Asylum.
Comics Asylum.
Yeah, they are the best comic website on the web. Are you guys a website?
Best website on
the web.
Hold on,
I may have made a mistake here. Hold on.
Well, I'll hand it over to Yvonne.
We're a comics and also an e-zine magazine on iTunes, available for download on the iTunes store.
What he said, the best on available.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
and they're our sponsors.
Now, are there websites not on the web? Because you said it's the best website on the web.
Chris, don't ask me too many questions.
Okay, okay? Sorry.
I'm on a roll.
I realize you're probably suffering from a little St. Paddy's Day hangover.
St. Paddy's Day syndrome.
Syndrome. Right? Yeah. That's
all right, Chris. What gems have you picked out?
Okay, look. You know what? Every Wednesday, there is about 4,000 new comics hitting the newsstands, at least. And so we are just going to take a smattering of the ones that...
Smattering. Smattering of the plethora.
We're going to grab about 7 or 8 of different kinds. And we're not even going to talk too much about them.
No, why? Why even do that?
What is this, a comic show?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, forget it. So, look, the first one I want to talk about is Silk Number 2 by Marvel Comics.
Uh-huh.
And this is sort of all in that Spider-Verse vein. It's got a great cover by Frank Cho. And,
I love Frank Cho.
This is by Robbie Thompson, Stacy Lee, and Ian Herring, Number 2. It's a good-looking book there, and I really have nothing else to say about it.
Okay, Don Cherry, pass that over.
Oh, sorry, Dave. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's not Frank Cho. It's Dave Johnson. I was wrong.
Yeah, I get those two confused
all the time. I got two words for you, and they're not Merry Christmas.
Okay. Silk Number 2, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next one we got is Batgirl Endgame Number 1. Now, you know what? I don't really know why. It's a good-looking book on the inside, but maybe you guys can help me out here. Why? You know, we've been told that DC is basically blowing up their universe again soon. Why would somebody want to buy another Number 1?
It's kind of their syndrome of the last couple of years is every 6 months or so, it's kind of one of those things where they want to reinvent the universe. And I'm not too sure what will happen in this, I guess, next 6 months where they're retconning, I think, the universe once again.
Right.
Just this week, there was a whole bunch of Superman, Wonder Woman kind of stuff released, and I think we're going to get into that later.
All right.
But, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where if you love Batgirl and you want to see the 100th iteration of her.
Yep.
You know, pick yep. it up.
So now, what Vaughn's saying is it's a cash grab.
Cash
That's
grab.
What
I
it
like
is.
It.
It's a pure, blatant cash grab.
Now Steve, and I know you've written, you've done some writing.
A little
so,
bit.
So, you know, this comic book has very little words, so that those are easy to write, right?
They're harder.
They're in a way harder.
Oh, come on. But there's no words.
This is true, but it's more of the... It's more of the action that you then have to direct. But to be honest with you, getting back to DC, it's almost like they're running into a crisis on infinite reboots.
Yeah.
Because I'm not quite sure why they're going down this road. It's almost like pick a position, change it, and stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, and if the writing is good and if the art is good and the direction's good, it's going to work.
Yeah.
What? Oh, here's a question, guys. What is the most successful franchise that DC has? In terms of monthly comics, the character, the flagship title.
Consistency-wise, I would say it would have to be the Batman series.
Batman, thank you.
What's going on right now?
What is going on with Batman? A strong creative team that has consistent quality storytelling over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Booyah. That's the formula.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
I mean, I think that's been the formula for comics from the get-go, right?
But what...
I don't understand it, but it's kind of one of those things where every once in a while, it just kind of keeps on happening where they think that you'll go against the grain and somehow people will still pick it up. But common people are not stupid like that, right?
No.
It's kind of the thing that always happens. And then they find out, we'll cancel it 3 months later, right?
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
All right, well, listen, Batgirl Endgame number one one-shot available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, Star Wars Princess Leia number two. It's coming out by Marvel as well. And this is a series.
As well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. Sorry, Chris, don't get your back up.
Are you done?
Time to
you
get done? Your back up.
Okay, Star Wars, you know, I don't even want to talk too much about it. Star Wars Princess Leia number two.
Hey, Star Wars Princess Leia number two.
Hey, which book is that again?
Star Wars Princess Leia number
two. Just making sure.
And you know where it's available?
At your local comic book shop?
Damn right.
Nice, all right. Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman. And this is number eight, and this looks like a cover by
Jay Lee.
Totally. Just making sure. Yes, it is. So it looks like I thought it was, but there's a lot of guys out there like to, you know, Ape, mimic other people.
Imitate Jay Lee.
Yeah, yeah. So
isn't he married to Beyonce?
I think that's no. Jay-Z.
Other end of the alphabet.
Yeah.
See? I was close.
Yeah, you're
right?
Very, very close.
He was
very
Jay.
Close. Yeah, it is right. Jay.
Totally. Okay.
A lot of Jays.
Yeah. I'm getting better at this kind
okay.
of stuff.
It's all right.
Listen, Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 8. I like the cover. It's available at your local comic book shop.
All right. Black Widow number 16.
Mm.
I love this stuff. Phil Noto, I love his artwork. Great series. It's one of those books where, I think I personally like it for the interiors, for the artwork.
Noto's awesome.
But the writing is good, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phil Noto's a fantastic artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. Black Widow number 16. Also available at your local comic
book. Now, I've got three books here. That are... Three books here that are based on TV series. So the first one was Sons of Anarchy. Now, a lot of people apparently like the show. I've seen it a couple times. I wasn't too hot on it.
I liked it. I stopped at season 4.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they've got comics now going on. This is number 19 for Sons of Anarchy, and that is on your local comic book stands today.
Look at that. All right, Sons of Anarchy, number 19.
Now, here,
check it out.
My next book here is X-Files season 10, number 21. My question to you is, does anybody care? Like, really? Like,
I think Fox cares. I mean, they're still trying to revive it.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you one word.
Okay.
Star Wars. Okay, that's two words.
It's two words.
Right, but I thought of that after. But my point is this.
Yes, go ahead.
Star Wars, remember, okay, we were all kids. Remember how much we loved those flipping three first movies?
Yes.
Okay? What happened after the movies were gone?
Nobody cared.
No, I'm saying that the comics held the torch for the fans.
Oh, yeah,
there were
that too.
Fans
yeah.
of Star Wars content
yes.
that couldn't get it in a visual way.
That is true.
And so the cheapest way to get content to fans and also keep the flame burning for that franchise is comic books,
that
really.
Is true.
Yeah, Star Wars Expanded Universe, when you think of like the novels, that basically was the bridge until episodes 1 to 3, unfortunately.
Yeah. But comics there for
a while. Yeah, the comics
like
for the longest time.
Dark Horse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Dark Horse Dark Empire first came out, that was like a huge hit, right?
You know what X-Files has to do? They have to, like a lot of, listen, Star Wars has to do it too, but X-Files has to do it too. They have to graduate from Scully and Mulder.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
And the premise of the X-Files has to survive those two characters that age.
They have to build a universe outside of those two.
They need Rocket Raccoon and Groot going around. Right? Yeah. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does?
And they're investigating.
And they're investigating alien possibilities.
Yes.
But they don't understand why.
And they don't believe in it.
They don't believe in it. Now, that is money. I'm telling you right now.
Gold, Jerry.
It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Howie the Duck could be the smoking man, I guess, because he smokes anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's a hit. It's a hit already.
Pretty much.
I'm telling you.
I think Steve's on to something. Hey, well, listen.
As the way things are going, I mean, Marvel will buy that license soon, too, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, why not?
It'll be a Disney ride.
Yeah. you want to ride Groot?
Hey, IDW's X-Files, number 21, available at your local comic book shop.
All right, and finally, I want to talk about Orphan Black, number one. We're going to talk about this later on in the show. Orphan Black, number one, by IDW, based on the hit series. I think that's on Space here, at least here in Canada.
Yeah, in Canada.
And it's apparently doing very well.
I think it's sci-fi in the States.
Sci-fi, right. Or Sci-Fi, as they like to call it sometimes.
Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Orphan Black, number one, available at your local comic shop. And this is where I, is it Jimmy Cliff or Peter Tosh? It says it's a takeover. It was one of those two.
I don't know what
where
you're
I take
about.
Over the segment.
Sure.
And I take my, because I'm an Overstreet Price Guide advisor, guys. I don't know if the guys know that or not.
Did not
I don't
know
that.
If
they might ask for an autograph later or not. I'm not
well,
sure.
Yeah, they should.
So I know my stuff about investing in comics.
Okay.
That's my forte.
Okay.
So every week I pick the one comic that you should go into your local comic book shop, preferably the one in Hamilton on Upper James.
And buy 200,
50 copies.
200 copies. Oh, 50. Right. Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to make the call that it's Chrononauts.
Chrononauts.
Can you even say that?
Is that right?
Sure.
Chrononauts. Something to do with time travel.
You know, I had a
I had a
bad case of Chrononauts once. Oh man,
it's the chicken wings. Yeah,
was on the can for days.
Hey. Whoa,
put together really well. It's drawn really well.
It's a good book, and though, because I didn't go. What's that book that we talked about before with
Orphan Black?
Orphan Black. Thank you. Problem with that book was there's 500,000 of them printed. I don't want you to go out specking on that book when the supply will be very, very strong. For,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Chrononauts because it is an Image number one, and Image is the most speculated of all titles,
right,
of all publishers.
Based on
their creator-owned series, and Image is prolific with new concepts.
Okay.
Yeah. And every now and then, a few of those concepts catch on.
Yeah.
A la Chew, a la Walking Dead, stuff like that, right? So Image is like speculators. They prey on Image. They watch Image closer than anything else, right? And I figured because the attention's on Orphan Black this week.
Right, right.
Maybe Chrononauts might be the sleeper. And I think Mark Millar is the key there.
Right, right, right.
He's a strong, strong writer. Comes up with great concepts. So I'm thinking if something might catch and might have staying power, it's Mark Millar's Chrononauts.
Right. Okay. I like it. I think it's a great choice.
That's interesting
That's okay. Yeah.
It's interesting that that's an Image book when he has his own Millar world as well, too.
That's a
Marvel spinoff, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that would be an Image book more so than his own universe kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a busy boy, though. I'm sure he's playing all angles.
I'm sure.
I get that.
All right. Listen, speaking of playing things, let's get to a little more. This is going to be the All Krantz show. So for those of you that are old 60s Spider-Man fans, I don't even know which one to choose. Let's go with the Master Technician. We'll be right back.
Scuba de Wow, Chris. That was really, really. That's, hey, who was that laying on those skins?
I think it's Tito Puente.
I thought it was Fat Freddy Flintstone.
Scoodly Wow. Wow.
Scoodly Wow.
The Golden Smog is back in town.
Hey, listen, Krantz makes everybody's day.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. It really does.
All right. So let's get into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by, go figure, Comics Asylum.
You know, they paid us a lot of money
for the whole show.
The whole
they
sponsor.
Booked the whole
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
So,
and thank goodness somebody
kudos
did.
Kudos to Comics Asylum. Yeah. So, Chris, what? Okay, where are we going to start?
Okay, before. Forget about industry news for a minute, okay?
Right, okay.
I want to get into Comics Asylum. I want to talk to these guys.
Let's talk to the guys.
I want to find out. Tell me, what is Comics Asylum? I mean, I looked on the website, and it's an awesome-looking website.
Yeah.
But tell me, I want to hear right from the horse's mouth, what is Comics Asylum
Steve,
all about?
Steve, you go first.
Comics Asylum is a portal for comic fans, industry insiders, artists, to get the latest industry news, to get opinions from our writers, to figure out what they want to pick up in stores coming out the following week.
From local comic shops.
From local
right?
comic book shops, very absolutely. It's also, Ravon and I really started it as a way for us to kind of express our love for the medium. We spent our formative years in comic book stores, local comic book stores.
Yep.
And this is just now our way of continuing that tradition and hopefully passing on our love of the industry and all things comics to the next generation coming up.
Wonderful, wonderful nice. Concept.
Nice.
And now, Vaughn, so you were telling me earlier before the show started, it's interact. Like, old school guy like me thinking I go on a website and I read stuff, right? Yeah. And this is more than that, though, isn't it?
It's a little bit more in the sense that, you know, you could kind of interact with the app. You know, we did one where, you know, top 10 quotes from Thor.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
nice.
So we did top 10 villain quotes, I think it was called.
Right.
And it was kind of like the classic stuff, like, you know, what would Doom say? And do you know your comics in that sense where
right.
you could identify a Doom quote?
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
We kind of played with it. You know,
okay.
we kind of did the whole thing where think of Wizard Magazine from back in the day
yeah. uh-huh.
and just
yeah.
kind of add the interactivity part of that. So, you know, you could kind of get a review of a movie and also watch a trailer right within the app as well, too.
Okay.
Now, how many
yeah.
guys are principally adding content and writing for that site right now?
There's about six of us.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
yeah.
putting together.
Right.
Generally, I handle the production of the app creation and into the store and everything. But, yeah, there's around six of us
yeah.
contributing.
And when did you guys launch?
April 2013, I think.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what, like, are you guys...
So it's bi-monthly at the present time
uh-huh.
right now, and we're just getting ready for the next issue. And we're changing our format just a little bit in the next couple issues as we're going. We were in the app store before, and we were kind of doing some different things. But we're trying some new things out as well, too. Mainly what we're trying to do also is to try to promote the local scene and kind of do showcases on local artists.
I like that.
You
nice.
Know,
that a lot.
As well, too, you know, kind of Canadian talent
uh-huh.
as well, too, and kind of bring a different atmosphere to it. Because one of the big things when I was growing up, you know, granted, I was an art, I loved art. I love comic book art, and that's kind of what inspired me to read comics.
Uh-huh.
You know, you kind of want to find out what's kind of behind the scenes as well, too. So one of the things that we want to showcase heavily is artist interviews as well, too, and kind of get their feedback as well, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we go to cons, we like to interview the artists and see what they're working on and kind of get a little bit of that insight where before when you were in print, you couldn't kind of get that because you would just say, it's kind of like, you know, everything nowadays is if you could read it or you could watch it, it's kind
right.
of the difference right,
right.
now, right?
I understand. Yeah.
So that's where we kind of want to bring it to people and just kind of get it in your living room, right?
Are you, are you happy with the progress so far? Like,
yeah,
you
know, we could definitely, I think right now, you know, we're not social media experts and all that kind of stuff. So
uh-huh.
those are the kind of things that we're trying to get into a little bit more now, you know, and try to promote the product as a whole and try to get into the local scene.
Now, I'm going to ask you, as far, because you guys all agree with me. We're all Toronto.
I try not to, but
we're all Toronto-centric in a way, right?
Yeah.
And luckily, Toronto is the base for a lot of great comic book talent. Mm-hmm. Have they been receptive to your site? Do they see it as something that they'd like to contribute to help to forward the whole industry, including themselves?
Or? Absolutely. One of the things that kind of caught us off guard, I think it was in our first year. Shout out to Marco Rudy. We interviewed him
at Fanex.
His stuff is fantastic.
Yeah.
We interviewed him and, you know, kind of went up to him for the first time and said, you know, can we have an interview? We're from Comics Asylum. He goes, oh, yeah, I know who you guys are. And I was like, oh, it kind of caught us by surprise. So it was nice.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that the comic book store owners, the creators, the fans have all been receptive to us. And they're willing to do interviews. And we've got some great stuff that we've been able to put on our YouTube channel. And it's, you know, it's available for anyone to just go and watch. And it really shows the love that these guys have for the art form.
So where do they go right now? ComicsAsylum.com?
You can go to www.comicsasylum.com.
Okay.
And that's the main website. You can follow us on Facebook. You can go to our YouTube channel. So just go onto YouTube and type in Comics Asylum. And you can subscribe to it, and the videos will pop up in your, I guess, your Google alert. Whenever we put them up. And we try to get them up, you know, every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think we're also on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I gotta ask a question. So you guys have done a few interviews then in your time now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, without getting into names or anything like that, is there? Can you describe an instance of an interview that was like, wow, that did not go at all the way we wanted?
I can honestly say
we like the bad stuff.
We like the bad stuff. Yeah,
we've had some great interviews. Can I name a great one?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Chip Zdarsky.
I love Chip. Hey, he's signing.
He's going to be here.
I think he's signing
Falls tomorrow.
That's today. Right. Today. Yeah. I think it's later today.
Today.
And he was a fantastic interview. Had a great time with him. And I'm not usually the on-camera guy, but I, you know, was pressed into service.
Mm-hmm.
And he made my day, like, fantastically easy. So that was a great interview.
Yeah. Nice.
And then there was a comic book veteran, like, I mean, one of the icons.
Right.
Right.
If you're talking about the difficult times.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
And it was just interesting because it's like, this guy has, he's gone through a few interviews.
He's a dick. Yeah. Just say it, Steve. He's a dick.
No, he's not.
I'm sorry. Oh. I don't know where I got that from.
He just knows what he wants.
Right.
In an interview.
What he wants.
And it was quite interesting. He actually was the director of his own interview. It was quite fantastic.
Oh, good for him.
You know, we tried to get an interview once with a couple different artists, and we were basically told to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, but, get the hell out of here.
I have to say, that's one of the things where I was pleasantly surprised. Is we've approached a couple of artists, and nobody's really been harsh in the sense of, you know what I mean?
So are you saying you shouldn't offer someone a drink they never ever drink, and then therefore, you know,
like, don't get me on Esad Rivage. Don't get me on Esad Rivage.
I'm just saying, I told you he drank vodka. You wanted to serve the guy cognac. And
that's a long time. I will tell you, we didn't even tell these guys.
Okay.
That, so
and anyways, you know what? Glad to hear that most of your interviews have gone well. That's awesome. Now,
listen, they're working the floor, by the way. They're working the floor. Comics Asylum guys will be in full force, in effect, at the Toronto Comic Con this coming weekend.
Yes.
So if you're going to go to the Toronto Comic Con, I'm sure they'll probably end up interviewing
you. We'd love to see you.
Now, I have one more question. I want to talk a little bit more about your website. So before the show, you very quickly showed me your website. And I don't actually – I'm not as tech savvy as a lot of my students are. But I noticed that –
That's why he teaches them.
I don't teach that part of it.
But, okay.
You know, the as you're like, it looked like it was like you mentioned Wizard Magazine, and I had that feeling when I was scrolling through it. It had that Wizard Magazine kind of feel, and I really enjoyed that part of it. But I'm wondering, like, is this something that do you have to really be tech savvy to figure out how the website goes, or, you know, like that kind of thing?
Well, what you looked at originally was the app that Vaughn had mentioned earlier.
Okay.
And the app is actually something that is within your phone or an iPad. And with that interactivity, like housed within the iPad, it actually reads then like an interactive magazine.
Right.
The website is a more standard, static kind of an operation. I'll let Vaughn speak to that more.
No, but
so
it's the same information. But just two different
sometimes. Like, okay. Some things in the magazine are exclusive to the magazine.
Oh, okay.
But like, you know, some of the other publications that are out there, whether it be Empire or SI, Sports Illustrated,
right, yeah.
You may get one or two of the articles that are also on the site, maybe in a condensed form with fewer pictures or whatnot. and than what you would get in the magazine.
Walt's looking forward to your swimsuit issue that you're going to have. Because he was talking about this SI one, but then he said, I can't wait for the Comics Asylum.
You better start doing your crunches, Ron.
Hold on. Who did it? Didn't Image?
Image.
Marvel.
Image had one.
Issues.
There was Gen 13. Yeah. What was it? Fairchild?
There's been a bunch. Marvel did one.
Yeah. Marvel did one.
And then there was one called The Amazing Heroes, which was a magazine for a long time. There was like an info magazine.
Marvel. I noticed in your office the Beast pinup. I don't want to say anything.
No, that's I'm looking in a mirror.
Okay, on that note.
Well, that was a big one in the 90s, right? I mean,
yeah.
Joe Josko was kind of the king of the
pink. Yeah, Josko was awesome.
Yeah. Now, I remember Josko from the Savage Sword of Conan cover.
Yes, right?
Where most guys remember him from.
It was kind of interesting to see that they got him to do pinups.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was kind of like that, and I think Mark Teixeira as well too.
It was kind of interesting
to see that they got those guys to do pinups out of all the things, right?
Yeah, it was just kind of because Mark Teixeira at the time was really known for like things like Ghost Rider, that kind of stuff, right? And then all of a sudden he's doing pinups. But hey. God bless him for being able to draw such great skulls.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're glad the Comics Asylum guys are here because what we're going to do is, can we jump into the first thing?
What do you want to talk about here?
We'll talk about comics in February.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm going to take us through it, and I want your guys' opinion for on comics in February. So I'm reading online that the comics in February did really well at the local comic book shop level. The sell-through through Diamond reporting was 20-plus percent above last year, which is fantastic, right?
That's amazing.
There's more comic books are selling. And this is great for the industry, right? But when you look at the numbers a little bit more closely, they're, I won't say skewed, but I'll say skewed, right? By
Are they skewed?
Okay. Orphan Black, number one, 500,000 copies selling.
Half a million?
That's crazy. You know what? Million. We haven't seen a lot of sales like that for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I would say 90s. I mean, I remember 90s numbers doing that type of stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To think that you're in the 2000s, I haven't heard those kind of numbers.
Well, flipping over. Darth Vader, number one, 264,000. When when DC did their New 52, they never hit 200. JLA and Batman were in the high 100s.
Yeah,
that was it, right?
But and what was Star Wars just recently was
a million. 990,000 right? Or something like that. Wow. Well, Star Wars 2. Guys, 162,000. Spider-Gwen, number one, 250,000.
Now,
these are big numbers.
Okay, so I got a question for you guys. I got a question for you guys. You guys are clearly on the ball with this stuff, probably a lot more than we are.
Yeah.
It seems to me, based on what I'm seeing with these numbers, our tie-ins and licensed properties the way to go for comic books.
It seems like license is the key right now, right? I mean, TV and just movies and TV are kind of the best next option, right? Like you mentioned earlier, you know, the
Orphan Black.
Well, the Orphan Black, the Sons of Anarchy, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like if it's not original content, it's licensed content. I mean, that's been IDW's mantra for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, we talked about before on the show, guys, about how Hollywood and how just basically pop culture at large owes so much to comic books because the flow of ideas was so heavily out of the comic media into other medias, into video games, into TV, into movies, into stuff. And it's like I'm looking at these numbers now and I'm saying like 5 of the top 10 are media flowing back into comics.
Yeah, it's like
and
diverse,
is, you know, like, what do I got here? We got Orphan Black. We got Star Wars. We got Darth Vader, well, okay, the other Star Wars titles, right? Walking Dead is still strong. These are, okay, Walking Dead is a, sorry, but Dead's popularity comes from the TV and flowing back into comics.
Because
if I'm not mistaken, Walking Dead was kind of, it was solid, but it didn't really take off like until this. Show.
Right. Yeah.
But like you said, Doctor Who, you know, there's another thing, like the stuff that IDW is doing, Sons of Anarchy. And
Walking Dead was always in the top
50. It's amazing that, I find it exciting in a way that the comic books are successfully, it seems that the comic book media is a natural absorption of other media. Like, for example, this, you know, Orphan Black thing. It's like, that worked really well on TV or that worked really well in the movie. It will transfer beautifully into comic books and it's having a receptive audience. And I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I don't know.
It's also a way to I think we were talking about this earlier, to have an expanded universe
yeah.
that allows a TV show to kind of be one adaptation of it.
Yeah.
And then in the comics, you can maybe focus on different characters, mm-hmm. kind of have like an untold tales of these yeah. specific characters mm-hmm. that everyone's in love with.
Yeah.
And then not compromise either the quality of either.
Yeah,
almost,
yeah.
almost started with Stephen King in a way, didn't mm-hmm. it? With Gunslinger and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah.
like tangents out of the book.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. yeah.
And wow. I mean, I like it. I think it's great news. I you know, the pessimists will say, well, the numbers are skewed because of this. But maybe this is a natural progression in the media where we have to now make room. You know, move over Batman, move over Spidey. You're going to have some really hot properties from TV and from movies.
And you know what's I think it's interesting because comics, we were talking earlier on the show that, you know, 20 years ago, yeah, comics was sort of this nerdy little sort of subculture of its own. But now, because of the proliferance of all the movies and superheroes are cool, but now it's like people want to be involved in comics, and so people that wouldn't normally go out and buy Batman, they may actually go out and buy, you know, a Transformers comic or a Doctor Who comic or a Buffy comic, right?
Oh, well, yeah, Buffy's the one kind of started
yeah,
it,
right? Yeah, yeah. Buffy yeah. came in and because the show ended, and they just kept on the season going, right?
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden people that we never saw before were coming in.
Yeah, like same. That was the local comic book shop. That was the time to step up in terms of, and you know, yeah, sure, it's a cliche and everything like that, but it was a male-oriented, male-dominated
yep.
Kind of hole-in-the-wall types of places. And then all of a sudden you had Buffy leaving, and you had a lot of female Buffy fans going into comic book shops because it's the only place they can get Buffy content,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so if you just cleaned up your comic shop, right?
Yeah.
You may have gained new customers yep, and stuff. Yep. So we have Buffy to thank for a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it wasn't just females too. Like, I loved Buffy.
No. I didn't mean that.
No, totally. No, it's totally. I get it.
We're I guess the local comic book shop model mm-hmm. pre-Buffy was more skewed male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Buffy just may have been the catalyst, and a whole bunch of other things may have happened since then. But if you look at even manga, right?
Yeah.
Now the comic book shops are beautifully almost like I would say 50-50 in terms of people coming in.
And we don't operate in a vacuum. And mm-hmm. so comic book shops are now following the same kind of thought process that cars have been doing for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
where in the past you would just design a car, you design the interior, and it would look right. a certain way.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the ergonomics yeah. of cars now, especially the interiors, are taking into account the female perspective.
Right,
right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're
half the buyers,
right.
and they control a lot. Right.
But they didn't used to be half the buyers.
No.
They didn't yeah. used to have to do that. Right.
right.
So. You know, just a very quick tangent about that.
Uh-huh.
My wife was interested in getting a new car last year,
mm-hmm.
so we shopped around to a bunch of different places. We went to one place. I'm not going to mention who it was, but the salesman kept on talking to me.
Right.
And I kept on saying, "I'm not the one buying the car. Deal with her."
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so then he would, kind of glance over, and then he'd turn back to me and say, "Well, you know, this truck really has, you know, this kind of horsepower, and it's got
a torqued out bindle
yeah,
rotor, buddy."
I don't care. I'm not the one buying it. It's her money, right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, that just turned her off totally, and we never went back again,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. But all that old school mentality of, like, you got to deal with the guy, doesn't fly anymore.
There's also, you know, Vaughn's right. Society's kind of changed a little bit. I remember when we were kids, to find a girl that would read comics
uh-huh.
like openly and admit it was far and few between.
Right.
But nowadays, But nowadays, it's amazing. There's a lot more titles and different
sure,
kind of genres.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's amazing to see how many females love
list.
Comics.
You got Harley Quinn, Silk, Thor,
Spider-Gwen.
Right? Yeah, Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
And these aren't anymore. The great part about it is they're not anymore female characters written for guys. They're female strong, great
yeah,
female
yeah.
characters that females love reading.
And are written by females.
But even though, like, you know, it's funny. I was teaching a class a couple of years ago, and I had one student, a female student, and her favorite comic was Transformers. So mm-hmm. normally that would have been a predominantly male,
uh-huh.
you know, yeah. industry, and now she's loving it, loves Transformers, loves everything about it, and, you know, so everything is changing.
Yeah, we have the license to like what we like.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. It is the All Krantz version of today's session here. Let's, give me a number between 1 and 10.
7.
7.
17.
Seven. That's the elevator. Let's hear what we got going for that.
Chris, I vote whenever you talk, we just put Krantz on.
Oh, what are you trying to say? I resemble that statement.
No. Hey, listen, the next segment of Industry News is brought to you by Comics Asylum.
Oh, get out. I hear they do
that's
good work.
That website that's kind of like a magazine.
Tell me a little bit
I'm
more
not
about
really
that.
Sure. I'll get back to you later.
I'm not surprised.
It's a good website. Yeah, Comics Asylum.
All right. Listen, let's keep on going here. Now, Walt.
Okay.
Steve and Vaughn as well. I'm used to just saying Walt because normally that's the only
person guy I yell at.
I got to talk about Archie Comics.
Let's talk about Archie, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Archie Comics announced the reboot of Archie last winter and has now revealed that on the July 8th relaunch, we're going to have 20 variant covers.
How many variant
20
covers?
Variant covers.
20 variant
20
covers.
Variant covers.
So you're telling me there's 20 variant covers of Archie?
There's going to be 20 variant covers of Archie.
Okay. Now, remember what we talked about that? And it's funny that I kind of waited for this one to talk about that one. When we talked about those strong sales in comics, there was a caveat. Is caveat the right word?
Caveat, yeah, that's a good word, yeah.
That's a tough word for me.
I know.
ESL for me, right?
I know. And you've had the thing going on with that.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about that. Okay, but you got to talk ESL. You got to talk.
No. Yeah. Those strong sales. The only thing that I temper those strong sales with is the flippant diamond incentives.
With the variant covers?
Yeah, variant covers.
Those strong sales are to comic shops. I wonder how many get two people, right? And how many are, oh, man, if I buy 7,200 comics, I'm going to get that one that Fiona Staples, did something to.
Right.
Or kissed or put her lips on or something stupid. Like,
Fiona
you know
Staples
what I'm trying to say?
Comics?
I said it wrong.
Interesting. Huh? I hear what you're saying. So they're all allotted based on the number of sales.
Right.
So a
comic shop, 1 in 250 variant.
Right.
1 in 250 now?
I don't know. 1 in 500.
Because
well,
it used to be 1 in 50, right?
Well, you know what? There's different variants. There's different levels. Okay, remember back in the day, back in the day. I used to call it Simple Spider-Man because we had all the different Spider-Man comics. And then Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man number one came out, and you had your black cover and your silver cover or your gold cover or whatever it was. But then there was also the platinum cover.
Yes.
And that was
in the bag, the
hologram.
One in like 500 or something.
One
like
in
that.
A million.
One very hard to find. I knew a guy.
It's like what's the chocolate bar? Willy Wonka.
Yeah, gold bar.
That
yeah.
thing off. Yeah, that's
so,
how bad it was.
You know, that was big at the time. But now you've got all these different covers, and some of them are like store exclusive. So you have to actually order from a specific store.
I know. Sorry.
That's all right. No.
The New York, I think the New York one.
Midtown.
Midtown's big on that.
Yeah. Midtown. Well, listen, we did. You know what we did for Star Wars 1?
What'd you do for Star Wars
1? We did 1,500 copies.
Wow.
Because we knew we can handle 5 easy between the 3 shops. We can easy, right? Because it's a good number one and stuff. Maybe 1,000, right? But we did 1,500 copies based on getting 3 1 in 500s.
Right.
And then we did the math, right? It's like, whoa, if you get like $200 for it, and then that means each issue only costs like 11 cents, right?
Give them away or something like that. Yeah.
And that's what I worry about in terms of these numbers. So where we're getting to here,
you
I
still
guess.
Got that 1 in 500?
I sold it.
Oh.
Yeah. Archie.
Wow.
Are variant covers good or are they bad? are they now? Like, are they speculative, or are there? Is it just a great choice for fans to have?
From a personal point of view,
uh-huh.
I only would buy maybe one, and that is the artist that I like.
Okay,
so okay, hold on. Time out. Beep, beep. Back it up. Beep, beep, beep. You say of the artist that you like. Now, what happens if the artist that you like is that one in, let's say, I'll go small, one in 50 copies. So you can either spend $4 or $5 on the regular number one, or you may have to spend
20, 30 bucks
on the cover that you like. Are you going to still buy the cover that you like, or you just go, oh, well, I'll get the regular one because I want to read the story?
Oh, well.
Yeah, right? Well, exactly.
Oh, well. Okay. You know, but I mean, unless you're a hardcore fan of particular artists or you're a hardcore completist, which I know there, hey, comic book fans are mainly completists out there, right?
Well, this is what I don't like. Okay, it's all about what it's about at the comic book local comic book shop level is sustainability. We all want our local comic book shops to be there 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And then, but there's impulse. And you know, like, I know, like, I know.
Yeah.
But I can't say no.
You know.
Right? But I can't say no. I know that there's that completist guy out there, and it's usually a guy.
Yeah.
Right? And he's going to come in and go, yeah, I'll do 110 and the 125 and 150. And I'm like, but he drops $692 on the Wednesday. And, yeah. And, but he wants to.
Yeah.
And guess what? If we put regular, if we put $499 on everything, they just throw it on eBay and they get their $400 yeah, absolutely. For the one yep, and 500. Yep, yep. So you try to be competitive, but cheaper than competitive. But still, Buddy's dropping hundreds of dollars
yep.
To be. I know that that's not sustainable. I know that that's not good. And but I'm like a trapped as a comic book guy.
It's a catch 22, right?
Yeah.
But does that not put us back to the bubble?
Well,
yeah.
That hurt us.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, yeah,
years
back
ago.
In the 90s,
well,
right?
Yeah, right.
And that's, but I. The bubble, it did hurt us, but also I see it at the same time, too. I kind of like the bubble in the sense that comic shops were doing numbers that were just ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Rockstar yeah. days.
You know, so yeah. you can kind of say, like, and it's the same kind of rockstar days where you used to have artists that would come out 6 months late and people would still buy. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know
right.
all the time.
Right.
Sure. All the time, right?
There's so, an accounting now.
But, I mean, in some of those senses, I'll play the devil's advocate. I'm pro for it. To see numbers like, you know, 500,000 copies for Orphan Black and uh-huh. stuff like that, and even like 250,000 for some of the Star Wars. Amen. All the power to it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, yeah, I agree just worry that it's not getting to the people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just sitting in the box in the back. Is that yeah. what you mean?
That's what I'm afraid
okay, I get
of.
That. Yeah. I do get that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? The thing is, and I think sometimes these numbers are inflated, like, you know, as we saw, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if we go back to what we saw in Star Wars number one, 1 million copies sold, uh-huh. number two, 160,000. So it's not 1 million different individual people buying it to sustain that 1 million.
Right.
It's
same people.
Comic shops buying it.
It's comic shops buying it.
And then Buddy's buying
but
10 copies.
Even for the 160, maybe they're 160,000. There might be 100,000.
Yeah.
Who are actually buying? Because you're right. going to get, you might get, you know, 30,000 or 60,000 people who are buying one or two copies of different still covers.
Uh-huh.
So is that really going to be sustainable? What if those people that are buying 10, 20 copies, what if they're no longer interested in comics anymore? Right?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden this bubble has burst, and because they don't want to invest in comics, they don't want to speculate in comics, and now there's a problem.
I just think. If you look at it in terms of like movies, and you have that number one, that say Star Wars number one brings it almost 1 million, and then the drop off is 800,000 for number two.
Yeah,
if right. that was a movie, they would consider that a bomb.
Yeah.
No matter what
yeah.
your opening
yeah.
weekend
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think what you really want is consistency, because uh-huh. consistency allows the comic book shops to know what they're going to get, not just for issue 3, but for issue 8 and 9,
yeah.
right? That is what is healthy. And yeah. so what you're, my whole thing is, growing up, Simple Spider-Man, I love the way you put that. You went to the shop, you yeah. bought your book,
yeah.
you either liked the story or didn't like it, and you could buy 8, 9, 10 titles. I right. know it was a different right. time, prices yep. were different, right? Yeah. But what happens now is, you're in a situation where, okay, I have to decide what I'm going to buy, and then it becomes a gimmick. So does 20 covers get me into the store, or does the story get me into the
right,
store?
Right, right.
And how many gimmicks? You know, if you're going to do 20 covers, we can't really get on DC's case for rebooting it every 3 months. You know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing from a retail perspective. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing from a retail perspective is, like you guys both alluded to, is, I mean, we're all interested in the health of the local comic book shop. And really, that's the most important thing. And the key to success at the local comic book shop, believe it or not, is percentage sell-through. Is, I don't know, I'm just making up numbers here, guys. I ordered 10,000 comics last month. I sold through 9,500 of them. You know, I've got my ordering down pat. I don't have dead stock in the back, right? You know, well, how can you do that? Guess what, guys? We're probably at that level at Batman. We're probably at that level at Batman. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Where it's just consistent. It's a go. It's a, yeah, order 208, buddy. Yeah, because, you know, we're probably going to sell 200 of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a steady month to month. And you can make plans. You can make, you know, you can draw your graph. But if it's like, oh, 3 months later, it's another relaunch. It's a number one, but, it, you know, you get like feathers on the number one if you order 200 of them or something. It's like, like, what do I do? Let's order 200. Let's order 400. Like, it's just a crapshoot after that. And that's not good, right?
No, I get and that. You that's know what totally, I mean? Yeah. And I guess the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that 4 month turnaround based on, you know, you guys ordering from Diamond as well, uh-huh. too, where it's like people get to the fourth issue and you've already kind of ordered before you've even seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then it's kind of like it comes in and people are like, the story is ass.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Or whatever, right? And you're kind of like, and then that steep drop off, right? Like you're saying, from week to week, a movie that opens at, you know, 200 million, then next week it's like 30.
Yeah, you know? Come on. Yeah,
right?
For sure.
All right. Well, listen, Archie.
I'm still surprised that they're even rebooting Archie.
I think we just killed the Archie sales of various covers.
No, because you know what? I look at the list.
Chip Zdarsky's on that list, by the way.
Chip Zdarsky's on there. I would like to buy a J. Scott Campbell cover.
For sure.
I would like to buy a Francesco Francavilla cover. Uh-huh. I would like to buy a Ramon K. Perez cover. There's lots of people
Ramon?
On that.
Really?
Why not? Yeah. Hey.
You know, I would like to see the like green one just to kind of see what he would do with it. That's interesting.
You know,
one.
But there's lots of people on that list that I would like to see and buy. Now, if they're all 1-to-1-to-1-to-1-to-1,
that's great.
Awesome,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then I can. I mean, and they kind of did that with the Life and Death of Archie, right?
So you know who does that too is Spawn.
Yeah.
Image when like love an it. Anniversary Spawn love issue it. Comes out, there's like 7 or 8 titles and they're all
equal. 1-to-1s.
Yeah, because you know what? I am more apt to I don't know if I'd want to spend $20 on one comic, but I might spend $20 on 4 and you're still getting my money,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
So
I
would and I get more bang for my buck, so to speak.
That's all how right. I've always kind of lived at the comic store. When I go into a comic store, if I could get more bang for my buck.
Yep.
The only time that's not the kind of thing is when I collect underneath my 200 X-Men.
Right? Yeah. All right, let's have a quick musical interlude. We kind of talked about that for a little bit. I want another number from 1 to 10 from you.
I'll go 3.
Number 3. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's
kind of had that surfer feel to it, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, by the end it kind of does.
Hey, let me get my Woody.
Beach, like...
Beach Boys?
Excuse me?
The car, Chris.
Oh! Right. Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, your surfboard.
Yeah. You had a Woody, too?
Sure.
Woody? Yeah. I know another Woody.
I don't want to know about
okay.
it.
Okay. Chris, let's talk about the last segment of the show. Thankfully, these sponsors came in last minute.
Yeah.
And Comics Asylum. They're sponsoring
The
last
That's good.
Of the show.
That's good.
Great website, great magazine, great bunch of guys that have come in. And,
yeah, they're all right. They're all right.
And shared their knowledge.
Nice.
Let's talk about guys, and I want to get your opinion on the news that came out over the last week or so about DC redoing the costumes of their characters coming post, what is it called? Post-convergence?
Yeah.
So, you know, Wonder Woman's got this new outfit, and Supes has got this new outfit, and I don't know. What do we think about new outfits?
Okay, so
it is spring.
Now,
and spring is high fashion.
Spring has
time.
Sprung.
Yeah, that's the time of fashion.
That is true. Now, hold on a second here. For those of our listeners who
spit
maybe
it out,
aren't
Chris,
too sure.
Come on, get it out.
Sorry, I'm ESL.
Okay, no, I'm ESL.
some of our listeners may not know what's going on with comic book industry. How come convergence? They're blowing up the DC universe again.
Blowing it up,
and basically. They're throwing caution to the wind. There's no more continuity, from what I know.
Craziness.
It's basically
it
they're going to have
like reset again. Like
but it's resetting, but not resetting.
It's kind of like they're kind of hinting at that the old 52.
The old
252
is coming back.
Coming back.
And it's kind of like you know they're realizing that continuity is too hard to deal with. So they're going to have the old Batman and the new Batman and the new Wonder Woman and the old Wonder Woman. And they're just going to have stories all over the place. And continuity just you know doesn't matter anymore. Now, having said all that, does character redesigns and costumes matter anymore? Like, does it? If they're going to blow up the costumes,
they're
going to blow
no.
up the universe?
I'll say no, just based on, we've had this before. This is not new. I mean, people are getting in an uproar for a new costume. I mean, during the 90s, like, we went through costumes like they were butter. Like, it was ridiculous, right? And you mean every Tom, Dick, and Harry had, like, a multi-spandex or... Like the Rob Liefeld days were kind of the worst, where everybody had a strapped or
pouches
and straps,
multi pouch.
They're accessories.
Do you remember when Spider-Man wore armor?
Yes.
Alex Saviak drew that. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So you know, okay, and you're absolutely right.
But it was getting pressed.
But it was never back then. I guess because of media now, they didn't have the media back then. They had Wizard magazine,
true.
And that was about it. So
and then you heard about it like 2 months after,
right? So you get a comic and like, oh, Spider-Man's in a new costume, and it wasn't really. There was no uproar because it was like, oh, well, this is what's happening here.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's like all this advance notice, so it's fans get a chance to get upset about it. Is it warranted? Like maybe we should just roll with the punches and say, hey, you know what, man, this has been going on for years.
The thing is to engage and entice, right? You almost want a reaction. It's one of those things where you want to make it, controversial because controversial will get mileage. In media, right?
Yeah, but like there was a time when, like, I remember, you know, back in the 80s when, you know, Thor had a beard. And that was like the big change in the costume.
Uh-huh.
Thor got a beard. Yeah. It was like, whoa, Thor's got a beard now.
And he had the armor because of the brittle bones because of the spell that was on
and
him.
So, but now it's like, now Thor's a woman.
Yeah.
Like it's
well,
so
a beard on her. I'll read that one.
Right? But it's completely different.
Well, my take on the costumes, and for those of you out there, I still like Superman in red underwear. That's just me.
Me too.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But my take on it is part of the hype around it is that these comic book characters are now owned by the media companies.
Uh-huh.
Right? So Disney has ABC at their disposal, and Warner Brothers has Entertainment Weekly at its disposal.
Right.
So they can trumpet and be their own kind of like press agent. Yeah. And kind of lead the call on that one. The thing that I'm a little bit, I don't know, skeptical about is that none of these changes have anything to do with a story.
Right.
No. You're right.
Call.
Right?
Good call.
One of my favorite characters in the Avengers was the Wasp.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She at least changed costumes. She was like Diana Ross. She'd like have three costumes in an issue. But she changed it because she was a fashion designer. So that made sense.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And
the diva.
Yeah, absolutely. And her hairstyles would change and all that kind of stuff. But now it's just like, okay, getting back to the sales, we're only selling 75,000.
How
can we do it? So we can change Thor into a woman, make Captain America black, turning into the Falcon.
Yep.
And in a way, it kind of also speaks to that kind of, you know, it's almost like there's too much control and then not enough control at the same time.
Yeah.
Where in the past, the guys that and the gals that were making the stories, you know, you had really great storylines, and things fell out of that. Walt Simonson's story, as you were mentioning.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
When Thor was turned into a frog, as ridiculous as it was, it was a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Right. When he got his face torn up and had to wear the beard, fantastic parts of the story. Yeah. Spider-Man going to the Secret Wars planet, getting the black the costume, then but turns into
maybe
canon for him.
Maybe it's this. Maybe it's guys our age. Because what you do is you latch on. Like, my age, like, I'll tell you. The Romita Spidey is my Spidey.
Yeah, right.
The Romita Spidey is my Spidey. And we all grew up with kind of our guy, and that classic character for us is that guy, whether it's Zach or whether whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I guess the argument is there was enough longevity and continuity that it's stuck in our fragile little 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old minds where the turnover now is so quick and steady that, like, which character do you associate with the most, right?
I'll use Bond as an example.
Yeah.
You have your diehard Connerys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your diehard Moores.
Yeah.
And I think it was Desmond Llewellyn, Q, the original Q, who said it's whoever you grew up with.
Yeah, that's very exactly true.
Which is the case. But if you really look at the Daniel Craig Bonds, why are people screaming that this is the quintessential Bond,
right,
and he may be better than Connery? Is because he went back to the roots, or they've gone back to the roots.
You know,
and
they've gone back to the source material.
They've gone back to the source material. So you're not at the point where you're going off into a tangent, and then the writing is great.
Yeah.
So if you're true to the character, it doesn't matter if he's blonde.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the stories are great. And I think that's what's missing with the comics.
You're right. Yeah. That's a great point.
A great point. And you know what?
So put him in any flipping costume you want.
Just give me a good story.
Just give me a good story. Yeah.
And as an example, Wonder Woman, whether she's wearing long pants, which she did in the 60s anyway, when she was the secret agent, or whether she's in armor, if you tell a great Wonder Woman story, people will read it.
And you know what? Great point about that is, so I've collected Wonder Woman almost my entire life, and some of my favorite stories is when she was working at a taco shop with the Brian Boland covers.
Yes, yeah.
And they were goofy.
Yeah, great stuff.
Well, William Messner Loebs, was writing it at the time. Goofy, but man, they were great, great writing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I liked, she was out of a job.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it was just fun to read. And it's from, like, you know, so yeah, you can basically put the character in whatever costume you want as long as they're good stories.
Oh, totally. Right. I mean, as much as the convoluted X-Men world is, that is the X-Men.
Yep.
The old days of Chris Claremont was fine. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's what you grew up with in some sense too, right?
Yep, that's right.
Awesome. All right, guys, listen, we're like just blabbering on,
I know
what we're talking about, but we got to mention that the Toronto Comic Con is this weekend.
And you guys are going to be there?
Yes, we will.
Comics Asylum guys will be there. You don't have a booth or anything. Just be.
We won't have a booth. We'll be walking around. Yeah, I will be. I'll have my own table.
You'll have a table.
Full name,
as
Steve,
yourself.
Please.
Steve Bino, BYNOE.
Okay.
Rhymes with Rhino.
All right. Nice. Now go look for. Say hi to Steve at his booth if you could, please, and check us out. I'll be there at the Big B booth. Come by, say hi to me too.
If I get a chance, I'll be there on Sunday. But we'll see how things go.
If Chris is there, he'll. No. What did you say?
I'll be there on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. That's looks like the end of our show. So we have to remind everybody that we're on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Today, Shecky Feldstein was not here. So it was engineered.
I was here.
And produced by the great Chris Owen.
And we need to thank Steve and Vaughn for coming in on the show.
From Comics
Asylum. I hope you guys had a good time.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was awesome.
All right. So listen, go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
See you guys next week.